Good evening. Tonight, world trouble spot number one, Tunisia. Tunisia is a narrow strip of land on the northern coast of Africa. It lies between Algeria and Libya. Tunisia was one of the old Barbary states until it came under French control in 1883. It has a population of 3.5 million. Most of the people are Arabs and Berbers, but there are approximately 150,000 French, 85,000 Italians, 11,000 other Europeans. Tunisia is chiefly an agricultural country. Its prosperity depends on the success or failure of the crops. Last Saturday, American-made planes coming from Algeria, flown by French army pilots, bombed a Tunisian border village, killing 68 people. This created the crisis, made Tunisia world trouble spot number one. A few hours ago, Ed Newman, NBC News, arrived in Tunis. And at this moment, Ed is waiting to give us background on this explosive situation. Let me pick up our overseas circuit. Ed, as we talk to you right now, do you feel you are in a city preparing for war?
No. No, I can't say I feel that because my conversations with, President Bourguiba, among others, are all along the lines that they expect the French to withdraw. Bourguiba says it is inconceivable that the French should not withdraw. But when you say a city preparing for war, there is this. They appear to be genuinely determined to get the French out. And according to Bourguiba, they are genuinely determined to give up their lives, if necessary, to do that. Now, when a country like this prepares for war, there are no signs of it in the sense that we know them. There are soldiers as you go around, yes. I should say there are signs of what you would call security precaution. You don't see any tanks rumbling around, the cannons going by. If the Tunisians really do start fighting with the French, it'll be out in the countryside, snipers and guerrillas and that sort of thing. I don't think it would ever be done in any concerted way, in the sense that they would be looking for any kind of pitched battle, because that would just be murder.
Where would Tunisia get arms from? Where would she get the method for making war?
Well, of course, the Tunisians recently did get some arms from us and from the British against the wishes of the French. In the past, they've always had their arms from the French. But if any kind of fighting did break out here, the Tunisians, I imagine, would be fighting with rifles. That's about all they've got. It's just a question of ordinary people. The Tunisian armed forces don't amount to much.
Ed, is there any anti-Western feeling? You've been able to move around freely, I gather, from the reports we've been getting from you here at NBC.
Oh, yes. I would say there is no evidence whatever of any anti-Western feeling in Tunis. Certainly, I haven't been aware of any. And so far as that goes, the place is full of French people. Everywhere you look, walking the streets, in the hotels, in the theaters, in the shops, French people working here, living here.
Ed, stand by, please, for a minute. We'll continue with Ed Newman's on-the-spot account in just 60 seconds. But first, hear this.
We used to say, when the heart stops, life stops. But this is no longer necessarily true. As a matter of fact, in some instances, surgeons deliberately stop heart action temporarily in order to save a life. Stilled heart surgery is one more example of the tremendous strides being made in the fight against heart disease. It's the kind of advancement made possible through research, through the unflagging efforts of dedicated scientists working in clinics, laboratories, and hospitals. Supporting heart research is the job of your heart association. Supporting your heart association is your job. It's a job that can affect you and your family, because no heart is immune to heart disease. Today's research may very well lead to discoveries which could save your life tomorrow. Help your heart fund help your heart. Give generously to your local heart association or to Heart, in care of your post office.
You'll wonder where the yellow went.
Special sale, save 27 cents on two giant tubes of Pepsodent.
World trouble spot number one continues to engage the world's attention. Let's continue speaking via our overseas circuits with Ed Newman in Tunis.
Ed, could you say that Bourguiba seems to have the feeling that he expects justice to be done as a result of that bombing?
Well, that is absolutely his conviction. He thinks it is inconceivable that he should not be upheld by the Security Council and that the Security Council should not oblige France to leave. And the only thing he believes that could stop that happening would be for the United States to prevail on France to do it without a vote by the Security Council. He counts very heavily on the United States for what he believes is justice.
Ed, we wonder if the issue at hand has been explained to the Tunisian people. Are the newspapers carrying clear accounts of incidents and developments?
Frankly, the answer to that is yes, very definitely. Bourguiba was on the radio, and when he speaks on the radio, he speaks for about an hour. And his voice is heard probably by the vast, overwhelming majority of Tunisian people. They hear him in their homes, they hear him in the coffee shops, they hear him through loudspeakers in public squares. And they certainly know what is going on. I don't imagine there is any appreciable part of the Tunisian population that does not know what has happened. Where they perhaps may lack information is on the complications of this issue. It seems perfectly plain to the Tunisians you speak to that the United States should come to their help and force the French out. They don't seem to accept the idea that that's not quite as easy as it sounds, and that the French also have some feelings and some importance for the United States in this matter. Mm-hmm.
If the French forces are withdrawn, Ed, do you think Tunisia can take care of itself?
Well, take care of itself against whom, do you mean? Take care of itself against any large-scale communist attack, assuming one could be launched against her, I would say no, but I don't believe that the French forces that are here would constitute any very great shield. Tunisia comes under American protection through the Eisenhower Doctrine, through the presence of the Sixth Fleet. The French forces that are here are mainly for guard duty. They guard airdromes, they guard the naval base, they guard radar installations, they guard communications, that sort of thing. They're not a very large fighting force. I would have thought, no, that obviously Tunisia would be defenseless against anybody who could mount a large-scale attack against her unless she got a lot of outside help.
Mm-hmm. Right, Ed. Thank you very much.
Not at all, Frank.
What is the political significance of this to us, to the United States and the Western world? The answer to that in just a moment on Life in the World.
When the ice is smooth and the sky is blue and the skater's waltz is played for two,
you make it Pabst, 'cause Pabst makes it perfect.
Yes, Pabst makes it perfect. Just as we always have ever since 1844. So next time, you make it Pabst, because Pabst makes it perfect. America's Blue Ribbon Beer from the Pabst Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yes, Pabst makes it perfect.
The Tunisian crisis. Action by the UN is pending. Highlighting it into perspective as world trouble spot number one, here is Pauline Frederick, NBC UN correspondent. Pauline, what is the atmosphere at the UN tonight?
Frank, it's an atmosphere of anxiety and anticipation, wondering what's going to happen next. Everyone feels, of course, there will have to be a Security Council meeting. Things have gone too far to turn back now as far as Tunisia is concerned. But in the immediate future, we see this. Tomorrow morning, the 29 Afro-Asian nations will meet. Now, not many of these nations are on the Security Council, only Iraq, Japan, China, so that they can't be great help there. But what they can do is express a solidarity of opinion in favor of Tunisia in this crisis and in opposition to France and colonialism and all it represents. And unfortunately, the United States is being tarred with the same brush because Our planes, our American-made planes, were involved in this incident. It's well known that we support France militarily and with money, and that it is a major nation in the NATO alliance. Therefore, it's very difficult for us openly to go against France.
What then can be the U.S. position?
I have just heard, Frank, from one source at the U.N. that the United States is exercising tremendous pressure on Tunisia not to bring this matter into the Security Council. In other words, to try to settle it outside by negotiations between Tunisia and France. This seems very difficult to achieve because Tunisia is demanding that the French troops be withdrawn from Tunisia by March the 20th, and France seems in no mood to accede to that.
Pauline, beyond the danger of shooting starting up in this troubled area, what is the greatest threat this incident poses to the world?
It's a very serious threat to the Western world, Frank. The president of the Security Council this month is Soviet delegate Sobolev. It is assumed that he will take this ready-made opportunity to denounce the French colonialism, American aid to France, the NATO alliance, the Baghdad Pact, and all the other military groupings. And with public opinion, especially of the Afro-Asian group, solidifying behind Tunisia, this becomes very serious because what the Russian delegate says will have a strong appeal to this group. One source at the UN told me very seriously the other night that this incident between France and Tunisia could lose the whole Afro-Asian world to the West within 3 years and move it into the Soviet orbit. And it seems to me that that's the greatest danger.
And that's life and the world. I'll be back in just a moment.
We're in the cold season.
And there's no doubt that a lot of people will catch a cold. When that happens to you, and you need a laxative because your system is slowed down, let X-Lax help you toward your normal regularity, gently, overnight.
X-Lax is so gentle that many doctors recommend it for youngsters as well as grown-ups.
That's because X-Lax gives you the relief you want, the gentle way that nature wants, without upset, without embarrassing urgency.
When you take pleasant-tasting, chocolated X-Lax at bedtime, it does not disturb your sleep. And X-Lax is so effective that the next morning, you'll be well on your way toward your normal regularity.
Seldom, if ever, will you need X-Lax the next day.
That's why X-Lax is America's largest selling laxative.
So if you have a cold and you need a laxative because your system is irregular, get chocolated X-Lax today.
The lead story in the news today is the French-Tunisian situation is deteriorating rapidly. To examine the reasons for this, to present a point of view from the side of the French government and a point of view of the Arab League, with a summation of our own by Leon Pearson, we devote our entire program again tonight to this grave situation. First, from Washington, French Ambassador Hervé Alphon talks with NBC reporter Herb Kaplow for this Life and the World exclusive.
Mr. Ambassador, what are the circumstances, the official explanation by the French government of last Saturday's bombing of Saqqid Sidi Youssef?
It's a pure self-defense operation. From this village, for months, we had a number of aggression, either from bands coming from the village of Algerian rebellions or from anti-aircraft shooting our planes. And we did nothing for a long time. We warned the Tunisian government that it was impossible to accept such provocation, and at the end, we decided for purely military reason, purely defense reason, to destroy the anti-aircraft nest and to destroy the rebellion camp in this Tunisian village. It was self-defense. Tonight, I can tell you, there is only one desire, that we can have a direct conversation with the Tunisian government and find a way to control the border and avoid those incidents. Of course, we can't do that in the present circumstances with a sort of threat or blackmail of the Tunisian government, of our troops in Tunisia, of our numerous French citizens in Tunisia, and threatening of closing of our consulate in Tunisia. That's impossible to think that we can have any sort of negotiation with the Tunisian government before those threats are cancelled.
By that, I gather you're saying that you are not going to comply with the Bourguiba demand for withdrawing the 15,000 French troops from Tunisia.
We will not do that because this is an ultimatum of Bourguiba and will not negotiate under duress.
There has been some discussion within the past 24 hours by both the French, or coming from both the French and Tunisian governments, of taking the matter to the United Nations.
I think there was a request of Tunisia yesterday night to the United Nations, and there will be, or there is tonight, a request of the French government about repeated aggression from Tunisian soil in Algeria.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other thoughts you have on this subject, Mr. Ambassador?
I want to express my hope that reason will prevail, that without violence we can reopen negotiation between France and Tunisia. For the good of Tunisia, for the good of France, for the good of the free world as a whole. I think there is a time where we must be quiet and see calmly the situation. Such time is now here now, in my view. I think the future can be very bright for those two countries who were for a long time close friends and associates.
That, exclusively on Life in the World, is the point of view of the French ambassador to the United States. Equally important in the Tunisian crisis is the point of view of the Arab League. This in just 60 seconds. But first, hear this.
That how you feel, blue and miserable with a deep down cold? Listen.
Every second someone takes it for the miseries of a cold.
Millions more take bromoquinine.
Every second someone takes it for the miseries of a cold.
Bromoquinine.
More people have taken more bromoquinine cold tablets for more complete relief than any other cold tablet ever sold. You could use aspirin or cough syrups or nose drops all day and not get bromoquinine's relief. Bromoquinine works to relieve stopped-up nose, body aches, fever, irregularity, the blues, and headache, too. Yes, more complete relief for even virus colds. For bromoquinine is the only cold tablet sold with wonder-working quinine and five other medicines health-fortified with vitamin C. Remember,
every second someone takes it for the miseries of a cold.
Millions more take bromoquinine.
Get bromoquinine brand cold tablets.
The Arab League is a powerful unifying organization of the Arab world. Here in New York, Ambassador Rahim is the representative of the Arab League and is also a United Nations observer. With action in the United Nations possible on the tense Tunisian crisis, the words of Ambassador Rahim have special importance. NBC's UN correspondent, Pauline Frederick, explores the basic elements and dangers inherent in the situation with Ambassador Rahim now.
Ambassador Rahim, will the French attack on the Tunisian village of Sakhiet have any general effect on the relationship of the Arab nations to the Western world?
Well, I think, Ms. Frederick, this will have a great effect on the relation of the people of the Arab world and the Western world, given that the attack has been premeditated by a member of the Western world, an important member, France, given that the armament used in this attack is American-built. Also, taking into consideration that France have been lately receiving important financial help from the United States. So the people in the Arab world feel that with American-built planes and with American money, France is able to wage a war against the independence of the Algerians and against the people of North Africa.
Is this going to make the Arab people feel that the Soviet Union is more friendly to them than the West?
Well, it's very difficult to answer this question, Ms. Frederick, because friendship has to be proved by those who profess the friendship. All the Arab world now is waiting and looking forward what will be the position of the Western world and what will be the position of the Soviet Union. And on the position of both parties, they would judge who is friendly and who is not friendly.
What would you regard as a satisfactory position of the Western world in relation to this crisis?
Well, I think the real attitude of the Western world is to say to those who committed the wrong that they are wrong. Secondly, that the root of the evil of this, which is going on now, is the Algerian problem. So let us find our way to solve the Algerian problems, and so that we'll solve all the difficulties with the North African people and with the Arab people.
Well, but do you feel that this attack makes it any more difficult to solve the Algerian crisis?
Well, I hope that this attack will arouse the world conscience, and the pressure will bear on the French people and the Western powers to find an early solution of self-determination for the Algerian people.
There you have the two sides to today's important story, the Tunisian-French crisis. How do these statements add up? We explore this with Leon Pearson in just a moment on Life in the World.
When they play it hot and you dig the beat, oh, life is swinging, life's complete.
You make it Pabst, 'cause Pabst makes it perfect.
Yes, Pabst makes it perfect, just as we always have ever since 1844. So next time, you make it Pabst, because Pabst makes it perfect. America's Blue Ribbon Beer from the Pabst Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yes, Pabst makes it perfect.
We have presented the two sides of a grave international question, the Tunisian crisis. You have heard from the French. You have heard from the Arab League. Now for a summation by an expert on this trouble spot number one for the Western world. Leon Pearson, NBC News, was for many years correspondent in Europe. Recently was on a journalistic assignment to North Africa. Leon, what is the background on this crisis?
Well, Frank, I think both of the ambassadors we just heard would agree on one thing, though perhaps nothing else. Namely, that the root of the Tunisian conflict is the Algerian conflict. At this point, I dare say many Americans are saying to themselves, why the Algerian conflict? Why don't the French clear out of Algeria? That war is costing them more than $1 million a day. Are they crazy? Well, the French are crazy enough to want to hold on in Algeria for a lot of reasons. The French settlements there reach back more than 100 years. And the Algerian French would say to you or to me, my family has been here since 1850. I'm an Algerian. I've never been to Paris. Why don't you get out of Texas and turn it back to the Mexicans? Well, this is the old argument. Now, the new one. The French want to preserve their new lifeline, which happens to be an oil line. I understand the word Sahara means emptiness, but the French have discovered lately that the Sahara is full of wealth. In the heart of the African desert, the surface is wasteland, but under the surface, a vast treasure of natural resources, especially oil. At a time when France's particular enemy, Colonel Nasser, stands astride the Suez Canal, and when Moscow's particular friend, Syria, stands astride the pipelines of Arabia, prepared to cut them as she did in the recent war over Egypt, a new source of oil, beyond the reach of Egypt or Syria, or Iran, whose nationalization of oil is still remembered, such a new source, lying within French territory, crossing only French territory to reach France, this could mean the economic salvation of a country which needs precisely that. As a matter of fact, all Western Europe is in the same fix, having no independent oil supplies. And all Western Europe is watching the new oil strike in the Sahara and the construction of the pipeline, 10-inch size already completed, and the construction of the newest pipeline, 24 inches now building, and watching also the political state of affairs in Algeria. The oil line begins at the bleak Sahara oil derricks, a place called Hassi Messaoud, 450 miles south of the Mediterranean, and runs to a rail terminus at Tagour, and from there, tank cars to the Mediterranean coast. Now, if the French pull out of Algeria, the Muslims would lose no time in nationalizing the whole operation. Facing this prospect, the French some months ago were considering an alternate route for the oil, through Tunisia, believe it or not. But that route is not very attractive today, which merely strengthens the resolution of the French in Algeria. They have withdrawn politically from a lot of areas since the war, Syria, Lebanon, Indochina, Tunisia, and they have proposed reforms in their administration of Algeria. But an actual withdrawal, with abandonment of interests there, will come, I think, only when it begins to freeze at Hassi Messaoud in the Sahara.
Thank you, Leon. Leon Pearson. And that's Life and the World.